Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the show. I am Mike Sempervivi, and I am riding solo today. Brian Alvarez will be back tomorrow. I'll tell you where he is today coming up in a little bit. But with him not here, certainly opens up more of time for you and I. Definitely welcome you to let me know your thoughts on the world of roped-off canvas mats. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529 is what we're riding with today. On Twitter, I am at SemperVivi. Brian is at Brian Alvarez, and the Wrestling Observer Figure 4 website is at WONF4W. That is your main source for all the breaking news in professional wrestling and mixed martial arts. WrestlingObserver.com. And there is no shortage of things to talk about today. Raw is tonight. Raw is the National Football League. New Orleans, Minnesota, and San Diego, Denver. Very intriguing games if you're a hardcore American football fan, but they are not exactly platinum marquee events. That said, it's still the NFL, and it's going to be interesting to see how WWE plays it. They've used some different methods in the past to varying successes and failures, mostly failures, and we'll have to see what they do tonight. We'll look at the infamous Raw 5-point preview and peek at what they have planned. Also, the effect of Hurricane Irma and what it's having on the lives and careers of many in the wrestling business. WWE and NXT talent who have to spend their lives on the road getting those lives further turned upside down right now. It's going to get worse for some of these people next week, and we'll talk about that when we get back from break. Plus, later on in the show, Dr. Lucha Steve Sims joining me. May not be his only appearance on the F4W airwaves this week. CMLL's Anniversario show taking place on Saturday. Plus, like I said, I want to hear from you as well. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. Get it all started when we get back from break. I'm Mike Sempervivi, Wrestling Observer Live. All right. You know what it is. Mike Sempervivi here with you. The Mike Sempervivi Show. It's not, though. It's Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi Show is going to be fly as hell, though, one day. Wrestling, fighting, boxing, football, food, exhibitionists, porn stars, drag queens, rappers, political pundits, producer Dom. Somebody needs to cut that check. Till that time, it's Wrestling Observer Live. And coming up later on Wrestling Observer Live, Dr. Lucha Steve Sims joins me for his regular weekly booking to talk about the scene down in Mexico, CMLL's 84th anniversary show, which over the last few years has been one of the more anticipated events in all of wrestling. Is coming up this Saturday night. This year, not so much, it seems, as far as the anticipation goes, but we'll ask Dr. Lucha about what to expect in this last week leading into the show. And if it's going to be affected by the boxing super bout between Canelo and Gennady Golovkin, which is also on Saturday. Well, not being as big of an event as Mayweather-McGregor, it's certainly more commanding as far as boxing fans go and their attention, as well as the rest of the country sporting culture in Mexico, too. And CMLL won't have the same benefit as being able to ride like the wave that AAA got from Conor and Floyd, because they won't be going on national TV right after it. I don't believe, at least, but we're going to get into all of that when Dr. Lucha comes on. Before we do that, definitely want your input as well. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529, SemperVivi, at SemperVivi on Twitter. If you want to try and battle me over Nye and Alexa, I dare you. Seriously. If you want to give me your thoughts on the opening weekend of the National Football League, you may do so as well. It's my show when I'm here, so I don't care. I'm riding a professional sporting high today. The Atlanta Falcons won. The Washington Nationals are officially the NL East champions. Newcastle United edged Swansea. And I can completely ignore the performances of both Notre Dame and Auburn on Saturday. Other than to say, the Irish defense deserved better from its offense and play calling, Brian Kelly. But I digress. The NFL is back. So Raw is American professional football. And historically, never really good times for WWE. And going to get into that here in a moment, but Raw is also Irma and the state of Florida. And the ongoing situation during these final stages of Hurricane Irma take precedence for now. No matter where you are in the world, think of these people tonight. Not only the ones you see in the newsreel footage, but also the ones you're going to be watching over the next few weeks on Raw and on SmackDown. Because it's not going to be a few-day thing for some of these people. Especially not some of the people you're going to be watching. So many people in the pro wrestling business currently and historically live in the state of Florida. Or the panhandle of Alabama. Or the panhandle of Florida, which butts up with Alabama. The old southeastern territory. Your redneck Riviera there. But central and southern Georgia, which is being affected. The South Carolina lowlands, which are being affected. A lot of guys in the history of pro wrestling worked or lived there. And WWE is currently filled with a bunch of people that live there. And the show is going to go on. And it's got to go on. But it's my hope that any and all like non-essentials have the ability to go and take care of anything they need to. Primarily their spouses and children. No need to have a bunch of people hanging around TV that like you honestly have no use of using in times like this. You know, like you're like when Bo Dallas was just kicking it on the roster and the only thing you could like figure out was something to use him for was like, you know, for a Dr. Shelby skit. Like, you know, anybody like that, like you're not going to use him tonight. Like plan your show out for tonight. Hopefully it is. Probably not. Probably working on it right now. Would be one of those things where it's like, you know, my hope is that was coordinated. So it's like, okay, who doesn't need to be here? Go take care of your stuff. Shows are going to go on, plural. And it's going to cause a logistical nightmare, as well as an emotional one for a lot of people. I've heard of wrestlers who are in legitimate fear of coming home to find out they've suffered serious damage to their home, loss of belongings. It's not just WWE. It's indie guys. Those are the guys who are really going to be affected, guys and gals, as well as the older ones down there. And regardless of the amount of damage, even if you suffer a little bit, you know, if you need to take care of it, okay, but what if you have to go back out on the road again? Because if you wrestle for SmackDown, you're in Las Vegas tomorrow. On Tuesday. And then you got to go to Hawaii. And then Australia. And then Japan. And then back to work for next week's SmackDown in Oakland. Then maybe a couple days home. And right back to California. It's brutal. Just brutal. But that's the life of a touring performer. And we talked on yesterday's shows about Big E, like dancing around in the rain at his home. Well, now that it's Monday, the question is, like, does he make it to Vegas for Tuesday's big-ass SmackDown? I'm venturing a guess here that he and the New Day are going to need to be a part of it, and Xavier's banged up right now. Well, guess what? You can't fly out of Orlando. You can't fly out of Jacksonville. Which, you know, being in the northeast quarter seemed to escape at best. because they're all closed up. Can he make it like in a car to Atlanta and then out? We'll have to see. You know, they got Kari Sane out of there. I believe Friday or Saturday it was. If I'm not mistaken. So that she'd be good to go for this coming Tuesday night. And that NXT crew, some of which has been stuck in Canada, when do they make it back? Because you can't fly into Florida. So how are they going to be ready for Wednesday night's tapings? What happens? What comes next? I can tell you the option of doing a same-day tape delay in 2 weeks on the 20th is in play. That makes the most sense. That's airing as you continue to tape out your time. That would make complete sense. This is how it goes. It's the business, but look at the personal side for a lot of people, especially the kids, especially the international kids that have come over here having to deal through this. Sure, it's a blast for them being stuck in Winter Haven. No power, scared to death. You know, Cat 5 hurricane bearing down on you. Brutal. Going to take it to the phones really quick here. Going to go to Jim in Virginia. Jim, how are you?
Hey, how you doing today, Mike? You was talking about the 84th anniversary show for CMLL coming up this Saturday. I have got one match that I'm very interested in. It's a women's mask versus mask match between Princess Suge, you know, within the Mae Young Classic, and my favorite, Zeuxis. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Starts with a Z. Now, I'm wondering, you know, it's been kind of scratching my head about this. They've been in tag team matches against one another, six-lady tag team matches or just regular tag team matches for about the last month. And they've each had their match taken off two or three times. But I get, is it just because they don't, you don't see their faces? It doesn't count? But you're trying to build it up for this big match on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. Why would you have them already unmasking each other beforehand?
Well, Jim, thank you very much for the call. I will pass that on to Dr. Lucha Steve Sims. I have my theories as to why. I can get into those. But that's what the doctor's going to be here for later on in the show, to talk about that anniversary show. Going to get into that as well as a bunch of other stuff, including Raw tonight when we get back here from the break. If you want to hear from you, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Keep it going. We get back. Mike Sempervivi, Wrestling Observer Live.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi here with you. Brian Alvarez not here with you. Why? He's at the fair. That's why he's at the fair. Maybe thinking, oh, how cute. He's taking Paisley to the fair. This is awesome. Maybe there's a Whale Scout kiosk that's being put out, information being passed out. No. Nope. Brian's taking on Marks. You can challenge him. If you see him at the fair, challenge him. He'll grapple with you. $50 to the winner. Not sure what you used to get back in the day of Dr. Ben Roller and Frank Gotch and the grappling with others. It's a practice that went out the window. I think it was Mr. Wrestling Tim Woods, the story of him having a thumb bit off with a somebody who was going after him. My God. You know, depending on where you are in the world, we're always here for you. Even if we're not grappling with you. Terrestrial, satellite, internet, live 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern. And the original Mothership show, Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Repeated on Monday mornings as well, too. Talked about Hurricane Irma there at the beginning. Everybody at the website, hopes were a good distraction for you with our programming. We heard from Eric in the Go, who's currently in the O yesterday. Hopefully Tim in Miami is doing all right. They got hammered in the southern part of the state. Friend of the show, Courtney Cummings, is okay. Our friend Ken Hesser is all good. You think Brian's got a gold boat? Ken's got a platinum one. A lawyer and a Penn State apologist. Ooh. Does it get worse than that? We're happy he's okay, though. I don't know how okay WWE is going to be tonight. Hurricane aside, football's back. New Orleans, Minnesota kicks off at 7:10 Eastern. San Diego, Denver at 10:20 Eastern. And because the cradle of American civilization is, of course, the east coast of the country, those times will be very important for our incident overnights. We'll all be jockeying in the morning tomorrow. Neither one of the NFL games is sexy on paper. Not really. Unless you're in those towns. But NFL fans know how important both of them are likely going to be for later in the season. Especially New Orleans and Minnesota, as that could, in theory, have real NFC playoff implications. Ask Brandon Howard of Fightful.com, who's appeared on this program and on Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave and Brian many times. We like to call him the new Mookie. I originally asked Mookie if he could help me. Mookie blew me off. Hooked me up with Brandon, who's putting in an amazing amount of work, collecting data on WWE and on television, all of the shows. So he was able to hook me up with just how bad Raw does with 17 punishing weeks of NFL programming. And it's a pretty brutal reminder of not only how rough the NFL is for Raw, but how much the audience has atrophied since its peak during the Attitude Era. Obviously, the programs with peaks are their valleys. But, man, especially when you know what the demographics of the show are, and you look in the mirror and you see those demographics, and you see the demographics that they need, because you also have those in your house, and they don't care. That's rough. We'll get to it as we go along. But if you look at Raw's August averages and then compare them to what happens the first week of September, it's really rough. From 1999 to today, there's only been 3 years, 1999, 04, and 07, that we've seen any uptick at all for the show's rating from its August average to what happens in week one against the NFL. NFL comes on, no matter what the game is, they get beat. And in the past 2 years, percentage-wise, they've really gotten shellacked. It's 11% in 2015 against Eagles, Falcons, and Vikings 49ers, which did ratings that by NFL standards were also heavily panned. I remember talking about it with Brian, you know, before the games, of how on paper how bad they were going to be, and then the next day how bad they got hammered, even though the game, you know, Eagles-Falcons wasn't a bad game. I remember Vikings-49ers, I don't remember as being good at all. Either way, both of the ratings for those games did not get over very well. And people were talking about how dead the Monday Night Football was as a franchise. And then Raw fell 16%. Last year from its August average. And those games were by far even worse. Steelers bombed the Redskins and the 49ers blanked the Rams. And if I'm not mistaken, that game's always going to be known more for Kevin Harlan's call, radio call, for a dummy that ran onto the field. Football itself, not good. And it doesn't get better for Raw as the month goes on either. Since 1999, despite what is said about Monday's slate of games, because it does get panned, especially since NBC Sunday Night Football has begun, the only September that ended with a net gain for Raw against its August was in 2004, up 3%. The last 2 years were down 11% and 14% respectively. And I'm guessing 04, I'm just going out on a limb, I'd actually have to go back and like physically look to see what was going on, but like, you know, Orton and Cena drawing a bigger foothold for the future, Batista looking like it was going to be in that future. You still had The Undertaker around. You still had some other things going on, but I'm assuming that's what it was, but I'd have to go back and look. But the 2 years, last 2 years, were down 11 and 14% respectively. So start bad and get worse. It's basically what happens there. So, and the following few months are what they are as well. There is recovery through the final quarter, but the malaise is usually in like full scale, mired in cold molasses mode. And that's why, like, to me, when WWE did that thing a few years ago, where they were going to try to like time out the show or time out the football game to do stuff and counter program, you know, big matches and promos at halftime and whatever. It's dumb because you can't think about them. It's the NFL. It's the biggest sports property going. And even if there was a dramatic fall, as everybody, you know, who follows football and not doesn't much care about wrestling has really thought that's been taking place over the last couple of years. You know, the numbers are still going to be huge, and you can't think about them. You got to do you and be the best you that you can possibly do. And just for contrast, SmackDown, which has bounced around from Thursday to Friday to Thursday to Tuesday, has fared somewhat better when it was like bumping up against football. It's obviously not doing that this year, even though Vince McMahon is going to be there for the big Vegas show. The NFL started the Thursday tradition in 2002. SmackDown didn't lose a thing the first year. And in fact, was way up in 2003, 13% against the Redskins winning at home against the Jets. But they lost all of that back and then some in 04 for the Patriots at home beating the Colts by like 3 points. But the starkest numbers, as you look at them, are still the overall historical numbers and the losses that have been incurred. Overall, the August average rating for Raw has dropped almost 3.5 points from a 5.73 in 1999 to a 2.24 last year. And Raw against the first week of the NFL went from a 5.95 rating in 1999 to a 1.88 in 2016. 1.88. I don't think it's going to be that bad tonight, I don't think, at least. But the games are much, much better. Like I said, a lot better. There's playoff storylines if you want to play that game this early. And this year, August averaged a 2.22, the lowest number yet for Raw, leading into a football season. Doesn't make you feel too confident. But this year we have Braun, and we have Brock, and we have John Cena, and we have Roman. And of course we have Alexa, and we have Nia. And for tonight, we're going to have Braun and we're going to have John Cena. So counter-program that. Don't have a whole lot of time to take calls. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. It's been waiting forever. Daniel, North Carolina, what's up?
Hey, Mike. I just want to point out one thing. It is amazing. Something's always blowing my mind. Brian would say it all the time. They're going to phone this show in with the NFL. Why not just put on the best product and your fans are going to watch it regardless? Whether it's DVR or not, you're going to watch that product. And I've just never kind of got that mindset. It's like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Hallelujah. I think they're still, because they're still stuck in suspended animation of time sometimes when it comes to a lot of things. But kind of, I think, maybe how they feel football is as a rival. And I hear the music, Daniel, so I want to thank you very much for your call. But I think that's what it is. And I think they feel as though sometimes they're in those glory days where they beat football. But they beat football by not caring about what was happening during football. And they were riding an amazing wave that they got from battling with WCW. Those days are gone.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we are back. Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi here with you. Brian Alvarez not here with you. But don't worry, he'll be back with Dave Meltzer tonight. For subscribers of WrestlingObserver.com, only $10.99 a month. You had plenty O'Brien where you need him, especially with Dave Meltzer after big shows, including Monday Night Raw tonight. Maybe even beyond Saturday night after the CMLL show. I don't know. But to talk about that CMLL show in his regular Monday booking spot, Dr. Lucha Steve Sims. Dr. Lucha, how are you?
I'm fine, Mike. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a little bit here. Unfortunately, I've been off on Mondays.
Well, last time I talked to you, the Dodgers were favored over the Nationals in the odds.
That's, you know, by the way, I'd like for them to be recognized as your National League East champion, Washington Nationals, even though that was a foregone conclusion a long time ago.
Anyway, now that we've got that out of the way.
Hey, now that we got that out of the way, we're on to a week of big sell.
Yeah, I promise this will be an exciting segment because we have nothing to do but rant. This is probably the worst anniversary show, CMLL, this weekend, this Saturday on internet pay-per-view, but it's probably the worst for the let's just say, let me be a little drawback just a little bit. The least interesting CMLL anniversary show that I can think of for the last 20 years.
Steve, it doesn't even have a Wikipedia page yet.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's what...
We don't even know an undercard. Unless you're a hardcore Mexican wrestling fan or CMLL fan, you don't even know an undercard for this thing. What is happening with this show?
The guy who's updating the Wikipedia page is waiting for CMLL to announce the card. Unlike WrestleMania or Triple Mania, where you have an idea ahead of time what's going on, until this past Saturday, just 2 days ago, CMLL formally had not announced the card. It had leaked out a couple of days before that, but even that's not enough advance notice. All they really were pushing were the two main events, and the two main events are, while they are more interesting than Diamante Azul and Pierre Roth 6 months ago, they're really nothing to write home about.
Who's booking this show?
Well,
my God, is it Niebla? I mean, like, what is the mentality behind this? Because I was going to ask you about the hard sell this week, but we're not going to get a hard sell.
Yeah, I can answer unequivocally for anniversary shows. Baco is responsible. Baco Alonso, he's very hands off in a lot of ways for his promotion, but the anniversary show is his cup of tea, and he signs off on what the main events will be. Oftentimes, he will dictate what the main events be. He decides the finish of the main events for the anniversary show. There are many, many functionaries and apparatchiks and whatever for CMLL to execute his wishes on almost every week of the year, but this is his decision, and he has, and you know, to a certain extent, he almost can't blame him. If he threw his biggest house or the biggest turnout of the year was for a lousy Diamante Azul Pierre Off match, and it's the anniversary show, which is going to sell some tickets just based on its name, just because because it's the biggest thing in Mexico for years, then yeah, he's probably of the opinion that he could put up, you know, just wrestler A versus wrestler B, promote it for a while, and people will come to the show. It's just, I don't find it very interesting. The most interesting thing, frankly, has been that one of the two participants in the main event has apparently been hurt for a few weeks and has missed all his bookings. So that's Niebla Roja, and there was even a report where Ernesto Ocampo, who runs the Super Luchas website, was the editor of Super Luchas magazine, and is certainly well enough connected to have a good opinion on this, was seriously doubting whether or not Niebla Roja was going to be able to go in the main event this Friday night. But CMLL hasn't announced anything to that effect, and they're still showing the match as Niebla Roja against Gran Guerrero, two guys who never really worked much in the way of singles matches or main events, although Gran Guerrero is a main event trios, the third guy in a three-man trios team. But it's really a push to get fans to think of this as a major league show.
Huh. Now, did they actually have their major league show already on paper with the Grand Prix?
Well, for hardcore fans, you got to realize this is one promotion that really, really doesn't really pay a huge amount of attention to the modern trends of society. They're a very stubborn and old-fashioned promotion, and they don't mind their guys, you know, Dragon Lee and Kamitachi and Volador Jr. with his feuds with Cavernario Galindo and Cavernario Barbario and all the other guys. They don't mind them working that style, but he is, Paco and his crew are still trying to run a house show promotion that has wide appeal to a wide range of audience. And though the TV is better than it was 15 years ago and the matches are more advanced than they are 15 years ago, he still tries to book a wide style that doesn't pay a lot of attention to hardcore fans. And he gave a beautiful, great Grand Prix, and a lot of the Torneo Cibernetico matches that CML has are world-class matches. But for his anniversary shows, where he really tries to put forward what would be the thing that the promotion will be remembered for the year, and its version of WrestleMania or its version of the top show of the year, this is a minor league mask match. It's the mask match that you would expect to have in June or in December instead of on an anniversary show. And even though they've got another mask match underneath with women, it's still not a major league card. It just isn't.
What are the odds, and this is probably asking way too much with what you've already said, what are the odds they know this, have something in their pocket to take place on Saturday night? Because we have had in the last couple of years these events where the post-show presentation was almost as big and as legendary as the match, especially in the case of Ultimo Guerrero in Atlantis. You know, Volador, there have been guys, you know, to different degrees that, you know, the match has gotten over. But that was, you know, it's been a lot of the ceremonial part afterwards. Could they use that in this case to actually go ahead and try to further something? Or is that really asking way too much out of CMLL to do?
It's not something that is asking so much of CMLL. I think if they gave a great effort towards the post-match and tried to make it very historic and or very emotional, they could, but I don't think fans are bought into either of the two main event wrestlers to care enough about them. It would be like a mid-card match between, I don't know, Enzo and Cass in WWE or you know, some of these people that just aren't main event stars. That no matter how much you push a WrestleMania match with those two and have an emotional post-match where one of them loses their hair, their career, or something like that, it's still going to be a match where the fans aren't invested in them like they are in the Brocks and the Cenas and stuff like that. And in Mexico, nobody is invested in these two guys, even as trios wrestlers, all that much less as main event stars. There might be more emotion in the ladies' match that unmasks. We've got Zuxis and Princesa Suhei.
Oh, yes.
Just on the Mae Young Classic. So she's got some familiarity to the broader U.S. audience.
Well, she's definitely got appeal. Got appeal to Jim in Virginia, who wanted to know about this mask and wanted to ask you a very specific question, which is, they have done a lot of mask tearing leading into this match, and obviously their whole face has not been shown. That's always been a thing, even in the American territories. There was mask ripping and blading and things like that, but as long as you didn't see the whole face, usually times were okay. There's just been an extreme amount of mask tearing, it seems to be, when it comes to this feud, as well as some others, too. It's more of a modern thing to do it so much, it seems to be. Why have they done so much of it? Does that have anything to do with how we're going to lead into the finals? Help Jim out with this.
It does to a certain extent. It is designed to signal to their fans, and CMLL is designed to signal to their fans that this is now a personal feud, and the two are willing to go to that far extent of a mask match. Sometimes, like when Volador and Mystico were doing this back in 2010, Mystico was briefly a heel, and the gates were just off the charts. It was something where the idea was being run up a flagpole, but for many years down the line, and it never actually got executed. In a case like Diablo Roja match or the ladies match, it's something that they feel the fans need to do to take it seriously, because otherwise, if they don't heat up the match as much as possible, fans aren't going to be invested in it and pay the extra money that the tickets cost for the anniversary show. So the mask ripping really signals to the fans that this is a blood feud, it's personal, and it's serious, and that the promotion is willing and the wrestlers are willing to go all the way with it. It's not just an average feud where two people are angry at each other for one match.
I've probably asked you this before, and if I haven't asked you, I've probably asked Dave or Chris Zellner or Joe Gagne, being on with them, or someone who would know better than I. It always seems to me that the CMLL, it's almost like what was taking place in Japan in the early 2000s, where it's like, you know, New Japan seemingly almost could have died, and they somehow stayed alive, and Noah reaching out to them seemed to do it, and then they All Japan worked with New Japan and raided them for Muda and Kojima and all that stuff, keeping themselves alive. And it's like, does CMLL basically, through missteps and screw-ups and just obviously through some Paco money and the Alonzo family money, I mean, how does AAA stay alive? And because it just seems to be like CMLL almost lets them through their missteps. Am I that far off in that? Because it just seemed like with all the power they have, if they could keep it together, it's like they should be more like WWE over the years than WWE has been. And they're not.
Well, for AAA, CMLL has a very large front office and has a very large set of expenses that AAA doesn't have. For example, CMLL, while it hardly pays for all its wrestlers' injuries, will pay something for wrestlers' injuries in many cases, and has quite a few retired wrestlers that they keep paying a very small stipend to each month. So the guys who are retired and had their whole career with them have a little bit of income coming in. AAA doesn't do that. AAA is a very small mom-and-pop operation with a much smaller office and a much smaller overhead. They've got a TV deal that allows them that even though they end up not making any money on it, they get a lot of exposure, and they keep their name and the names of their wrestlers out in front of the audience, or the broad audience, people that would watch wrestling on national TV, so that these guys can make money, you know, if they book them out to other promotions. But it's really a situation where they're always struggling at the break-even point, and okay. They've made some bad mistakes with trying to bring in really big-name guys to contracts they couldn't support with their gate revenue. And with the death of Antonio Pena and Joaquin Roldan and Conan's leaving, they've really got a front office very disorganized right now, and that I'm not sure is sufficiently, it's not their strong suit at running a business. They want to run a wrestling promotion, but I'm not sure the business side of it is their strength. And as I have said from time to time on these airwaves, that I'm not convinced that AAA is suitable for surviving the long term.
You know
it'll be around forever.
That's absolutely the case, and I hear the music coming up, Steve, so we will get into this again when we get back from the break, everybody. Right. This is Wrestling Observer Live. Other points in between, and the cool mornings, turn the days to swim or sink, living right is easy.
Listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Apparently the man is trying to hold me down today. If you had any issue with hearing this broadcast, it will be replayed again 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. GMT. Always available, though, WrestlingObserver.com for $10.99 a month. Not only will you get replays of this show, you get plenty of other shows as well, including two amazing newsletters, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, the Bible of Professional Wrestling and Mixed Martial Arts, and the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter, which Dr. Lucha Steve Sims writes for, and I'm sure he's going to have a nice big write-up over the 84th anniversary show, as well as many other things that are taking place. Steve, any final words on the way out here?
Yeah, it's on the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. This week's issue, which will come out in the next, I think, 24 hours or so, will have a preview of the anniversary show. Next week's will have the results, recap, and update. And the week after that, we're back to another big show for AAA. It's Heroes Immortales, which just has a wild card. I mean, we're going to have fun the next 2 weeks discussing this on this show, on the Monday segment on the show, because AAA has a funky main event or card coming up for Heroes Immortales. So lots to look forward to in the Lucha world.
It's always been one of the historical advantages AAA has had has been wackiness and forward thinking sometimes, where CMLL has definitely not. But once again, depending on where you are in the world, we're always here for you. Terrestrial Satellite Internet, Mike Sempervivi. I want to thank Dr. Lucha, Brandon Howard for his stats, producer Dom, and everybody else who makes to help this show possible. Helps to make this show possible, did I say that? That's what I meant to say. But especially you for listening and calling in. We'll do it again tomorrow, right? Exactly. I'm Mike Sempervivi, it's Wrestling Observer Live.